Welcome to Messy House Podcast, Four Modern Parents and Their Kids by a Modern Kid and Her Modern Parent. We're your hosts. She's Sierra. She's almost 11 years old. She's an ambitious artist, a highly sensitive kid. She's saving up for an iPad Pro, and she's psyched to learn coding.
She's Erin. She's 36 years old. She is a coach, boundaries educator, and marketing consultant. She's obsessed with kitchen dance parties, dogs, true friends, and avoiding crowds.
Welcome to our messy house.
Our podcast is proudly sponsored by Connected at the Roots Clothing, socially conscious, positive impact, Canadian-made clothing. You can find them on Instagram. Connected at the Roots, stand strong, branch out, and grow.
Woohoo! Hello and welcome to our new episode of the Messy House Podcast. We've been away for a while, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
We just moved.
We moved... Stuff's been happening. We've talked intermittently about the fact that Sierra's fidgeting. No, that's not what I was going to say. We've talked intermittently about doing a podcast about why we've been away as long as we have, which was never our intention. But for today's topic, we wanted to focus on the impending school year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're like a week to back to school, right? And... It's normal, I think, for highly sensitive people
to feel jittery and nervous about going back to school.
Yeah, and like excited, but nervous. I think that a lot of times we as adults are pretty nostalgic about back to school, and we sometimes tend to forget that there is some unknown and some anxiety that goes with it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Are you excited?
Yeah.
I'm excited. Here we go. All right. So we're in the last week of summer holiday. It's been a big summer. So I got to ask, you're starting the sixth grade?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are, which in our district means that you are the eldest students in the school this year.
Yes, we are.
So I want to know how you're feeling about back to school.
Well, it's... I'm pretty sure every single kid who's listening will agree with me on this. It's a confusing...
That's a broad statement. That's a bold, broad statement. That's okay. Keep going.
Tell me. It's kind of like a bundle of different emotions. It's like I'm nervous and excited and scared all in one big... yarn ball of feelings.
Okay, I think that's a pretty good description. I feel like the adults who are listening will also understand that, because the older you get, the more you recognize that we not only are we capable of feeling a lot of different feelings at once, but sometimes those feelings are in direct opposition to one another. So you're a yarn ball of feelings prior to this start of school. Is that, that's accurate?
Yes.
Yeah.
A yellow yarn ball.
A yellow yarn ball. Okay. Well, at least it's like a, like a happy color.
It has a color.
That's cool. All right. And so if we follow through with that metaphor, you're going to use that ball of yarn of feeling to knit yourself a year of school in your life.
Yay, we made a...
We made a metaphor! We did a metaphor!
We did an amazing metaphor.
We did a metaphor. Don't worry, guys. We're not going to follow that metaphor the whole way through this episode, I promise.
We might.
All right, so we've established the yarn ball, but let's talk before we get into too much detail. I mean, like, okay, here's the thing. I feel like the most value that we'll be able to provide people today is talking about some of the tougher stuff. But before we jump into that, I want to know, I'm sure our readers, listeners are desperate to know.
They might read a little bit of it.
Yeah, they might read our metaphor. I want to know, what are you excited about? I want to talk about that first because there are, like, good things happening. So tell me about what you're looking forward to in this, your sixth grade of education.
Well, I'm excited to be the oldest in school because people, like, the sixth graders used to look down at me and I'm like...
Well, you're still kind of short.
Yeah, I'm still short, but sixth graders can't look down on me because I'm the sixth grader
right
now.
Right, okay, cool. Yeah, so, all right. So being the oldest in the school and feeling there's some confidence that comes with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. What else? What else are you looking forward to?
There's this thing our school has called the Young Entrepreneur Show.
Right, that's super cool.
And
give us a little bit of background on that. Tell us what that is.
Every kid, you can work with a partner. I probably won't.
Right.
But you
Hashtag no group projects.
Make that a meme.
Hashtag no group projects. Okay, cool. So you will be working solo, but there's the option to work with a group.
Yeah. And everybody makes something for their table.
Cool.
Usually people make, like, slime or... buttons or magnets or something.
Okay, you heard it here first, folks. Is slime still going to be a thing this year, do you think? Or is slime over?
I don't know. Lots of people still make slime just because it's fun to see the like, combination of, like, random ingredients become...
Can't we make cupcakes instead? Make cupcakes, not slime. Okay. So you're looking... All right, so some people make slime. What do other people make? Is it, like, a crafty thing, usually?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then you, like, sell them to the whole school? It's like a market?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that does sound fun.
And, you actually get to... So, I'm pretty sure that everybody gets to choose a charity.
Oh, I like that.
And half of the money goes to charity, but cool. You get the rest.
What do you think you'll choose?
I don't know. Probably the SPCA.
Yeah.
Just because SPCA.
Because dogs and cats.
and bunnies and ferrets and animals.
Animals. Okay, cool. So you're looking forward to the Young Entrepreneur Show and to being the oldest. What else are you looking forward to?
Well, there's just one thing. So I have this book called The Wonders of the World.
Oh, yep.
And it kind of, like, gives you information on, like, natural and man-made wonders.
And be woman-made.
Yeah.
People-made.
People-made.
Human-made. Okay.
Yeah.
Human-made wonders and natural wonders.
Yeah. And I hope we do a project on places or natural phenomenons so that I can pick one of those from the book and, like,
cool.
Write
so,
things.
Really quickly, what's your favorite natural wonder?
The Aurora Borealis.
Mm, yep, I knew you were going to say that. And what's your favorite human-made wonder from the book?
The Taj Mahal.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's stuff that you're, like, psyched on. You're psyched on doing projects. What about, like, getting the band back together, so to speak? Are you psyched to see your friends?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of band.
Oh, right, yeah.
I get to do band this year.
Right, so you're going to play...
the alto sax.
Yeah.
Because we did this test where you choose your top three.
Was it like a BuzzFeed quiz where you had to like talk about your favorite type of peanut butter and then they figured out who your what your instrument was supposed to be?
No.
No, that's not a thing.
So you chose your top three instruments.
Yep.
I chose alto sax, tenor sax, and the trumpet.
I played the trumpet, and I was excellent.
I don't know what my third one was.
Whatever.
I really wanted a saxophone.
Yeah, we got you a saxophone. We're picking it up in Calgary this week.
Yay. But anyway, and then...
Saxophone. That's from The Simpsons.
I didn't know that, but it was funny anyway.
Yeah.
And then we did, like, this thing where you had to choose where he'd play on the piano. The music teacher would play on the piano.
Yep.
And he'd do three notes.
Yep.
And you had to say the highest for 10 questions.
Yep.
The lowest for 10 questions or something. And then, like, the middle or something.
Cool. So there was a process. I'm not sure I understand it. But nonetheless, you chose alto sax.
Well, I was...
It chose you?
Yeah. Well, I got a note that it said that I could play the alto sax. It was my number one
cool.
on the test. So.
All right, so.
And I got every question right, so.
Obviously. So you're psyched for band?
Yes.
Cool. And you're psyched for Christmas choir? Because I will cut you out of my will if you don't join Christmas choir.
I always join Christmas choir.
Perhaps because I've threatened you?
No.
Also because you enjoy singing on stage like a little angel?
No.
All right.
Also because I just like it.
We'll circle back around to that. All right, so it's really cool, all the stuff that you're excited about this year.
Thank you. You complimented me.
I did.
So
you're right. I did compliment you. Yeah. Like, there's definitely you're the kind of kid who enjoys learning and academia and writing and books and stuff. So like, there's
yes, I am.
Yeah. So there's like lots of cool stuff that you're psyched for. You've never yet really had a teacher that didn't resonate for you. Like you've had some. Amazing educators in your scholastic history.
Yes.
So that's cool. And
they were all on my side.
What do you mean on your side? As opposed to my side? Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you've had some really nice teachers who cared about you. And I think that that's one of the most important things that especially a teacher of young kids can do is just like love the kids that are in your care.
That's important.
Yeah, so you've had some really loving, kind, compassionate educators in your kindergarten, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, so in your prior 6 years of education.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I want to talk about today that I think will really be of value for our listeners today is what are some of the things, because we've established on prior episodes that you're a sensitive kid.
Yes.
It's easy for me to recognize because I was a sensitive kid.
You are a sensitive adult as well.
Thank you. You complimented me. So I said thank you. So, and I mean, the thing is that I was a sensitive kid without a lot of tools for helping me, you know, like live life as a sensitive person. And so I put up a lot of armor in my 20s that I had to unlearn so that I could go back to being a sensitive adult. Because I think that sensitivity is magic. And we know that if you don't express your magic, that it can kind of turn inward and make your life not super happy and make you kind of, you know, not the most productive version of yourself. So it's easy for me to recognize that you're a sensitive kid because I was a sensitive kid and I had to learn how to be a sensitive adult again.
Most bullies are sensitive. They just don't deal with it the right way.
Yeah, I think that that's probably a fair statement. We're not going to talk so much about bullies today.
No, I just wanted to point that out because we're talking about sensitive kids. So.
Yeah, no, and I think that most people, you know, can you hear the dog snoring? The dog will be snoring in the background for the
duration. He's doing a Darth Vader snore.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really just living it up. He's living his best life. So, yeah, I do agree with you that I think that, you know, most people who act out have just not been given the tools to deal with their feelings.
Yeah.
And that, my goal as a parent is to be with you and your brother in your feelings, not like in a Drake kind of way, but yeah. Like in a, like,
not as a stalker,
not as a weirdo. Well, okay. Kind of as a weirdo, but like also as like a
you
person
do some
who,
weirdo things. Sometimes.
Yeah, I do weird things. lots of times, but also I really do. I don't want to talk you or your brother out of having sensitive feelings.
Yeah.
And I want to be a good resource for you guys.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about, well, thank you. You complimented me.
So I said thank you. Warning. We are going to be saying that throughout the whole podcast now.
Warning. She also puts her hand up to her mouth when she says that, like she's telling you a secret, even though I can clearly see
whisper,
her.
Whisper.
Okay, so we're going to talk about some stuff that if you are or have a sensitive kid, might be useful for you. All right, so that now that we've done the world's lamest high five.
Yes, so I thought she was pushing me away with her hand instead of taking my high five.
It was awkward.
So I bent my hand and then it was just fingertips
on palm. Yeah, it was awkward. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's talk for a minute about what it means when we mean when we say highly sensitive person.
Yeah.
So you'd describe yourself as a sensitive person?
Definitely.
Yeah. So what does that mean for you?
Well, not only do I make sure that my feelings are cared for, but I also make sure that everybody has their share of kindness.
Ooh. So, crochet that on a pillow. Okay,
with the ball of yarn.
Oh, crap. We're back to knitting metaphors. Okay. So, also, you don't crochet on pillows. You cross-stitch, I think. Clearly, that's not my zone of genius. But, okay, so you feel things very deeply.
Yeah.
And you, it would feel unnatural for you not to express those feelings.
Yes.
And you also feel other people's feelings to a certain extent. Does that sound accurate? Like you are sensitive to the ways that other people feel.
Yes.
And does that sometimes drag you down?
No.
Never?
It hasn't happened. But sometimes it causes, like, what's the word? Like, it tangles up the way things work.
It tangles up the way things work.
I don't know the word.
Complicates things?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
It tangles the yarn. It complicates things. Feeling other people's feelings tangles the yarn. Yeah, I get that. So, would you say that sensitive kids do pretty well on summer holidays?
When they're good.
I mean, speaking for ourselves here.
Yeah. I seem to have good, like, I had a great summer, but sometimes being sensitive, I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes when I had sensitive moments during the summer, I kind of felt like everybody was against me.
Yeah, I get that. I remember feeling like everybody was off having fun without me, even though it's not true.
No.
Everybody's just, like, doing their thing. But I remember feeling like that. Like, if I wasn't in contact with people, that they were just, like, off having, like, a We Hate Aaron party. Which seems unlikely.
Or, like, off in Tahiti.
I mean, like, maybe.
Without you.
Maybe that happened, but anyways, it probably didn't.
I hope
but,
not.
Like, I feel that. So, like, there's something that's, like, I would describe you similarly to myself. Like, I'm an extrovert.
Yes, me also.
But I need a lot of alone time to replenish if I'm with people a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
If I've, like, had a big day with lots of people and
Socializing. Peopling.
That's a word now.
Yeah.
Then I find that the only thing that will make me better is going into my room, putting on a YouTube video, and drawing.
Yeah.
On my own.
Yeah, I get that.
It's just kind of like...
Yeah, I need that balance too.
Balancing it out, exactly.
Yeah, so we're like...
You don't want to overdo it.
We're like people, but we don't want to be too peopled.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get that, right? And so summer vacation, I think, can be really good for that because you can really fill up your solitude tanks for a year of peopling.
I can't believe we're talking about going back to school and neither of us are using proper grammar at all.
Well, I feel like we know proper grammar. Yeah. We just choose to be inventive with our language. Although, you guys, okay... I'm going to tell them. So we were writing our intros for today's show and Sierra...
Instead of writing coach, I wrote cochet.
She wrote couch, but with an E on the end.
So it said cochet.
Anyways, couche. So it's time for back to school because she hasn't brained very much over this.
Yet then summer. Afterwards, I spelt like educator and obsessed right.
Yeah, I know. So we're okay. We're fine.
My brain is screwed back in.
Yeah, we're turning the brains back on.
Shoop.
So summer can be good. It can be, I don't know about you, but that fact that I have that need for solitude, especially after I've peopled a lot, can sometimes, I sometimes isolate.
What does that mean?
Isolate means that I kind of like hide. Sometimes, and then I get in a pattern of hiding where I'm like, when no one likes me.
Yeah,
but really, it's just because I've turned off my phone and I haven't responded to any messages or whatever. So,
or like you were out of the house and you,
yeah, like I just like, anyways. So,
nobody likes me.
So, I have to be careful to really honor where I'm at in the cycle of peopling and necessary solitude versus, you know, becoming too hermitish and...
Becoming, like, I'm not saying being an introvert is bad, but like staying isolated in one area. I said the word now because you told me what it meant.
Yeah.
But like, just staying in one place over and over isn't very healthy.
Well, unless it is, right? Like, we both are learning what we need in order to be functioning humans.
Yes.
Right. So,
food and water.
Right. But also, sometimes people, sometimes not.
Yeah.
Okay. So, cool. That was a good talk about what's good about summer for sensitive kids and what's not so good about summer for sensitive kids, or what has potential to get us spiraling in our own heads a little bit too much about, you know, being away from school, which is like your main social outlet at the tender age of 10, almost 11. So what is good then about back to school for you as a sensitive person?
Well, I get to see my friends more often.
Yep.
A lot of people say that going back to school, I mean, not going back to school, going into summer is a more, like, is a more kind of, you can hang, they say that you can hang with your friends more.
Right, it's like a free time.
But really, most of your friends are either visiting Utah or going to Mexico.
All right. Well, I don't know anyone who went to Mexico this summer, but I get it. Like, people are on the road. People are visiting family. People are otherwise occupied. They're in camps and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you kind of, you know, you've seen quite a lot of your friends this summer, but
I get it, that it would be comforting to all be back in the same place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So what else is good about going back to school for someone who's a sensitive person?
Well, making new friends.
Yep, that's exciting.
A good thing to look forward to.
Yeah.
Because if, like, you don't have that many friends in your class, and there's, like, a lot of new people, especially when you're just starting school, whether you're starting kindergarten.
Yeah.
Or if you're, or if you were homeschooled and you're just going to school this
yep.
year.
Yep.
Then it's great to start trying to make new friends, because then people can kind of, you can have people.
Yeah. And so is finding new friends something that is, that makes you excited or makes you feel nervous?
At the beginning, it makes me a bit nervous.
Yep.
But in, like, once I actually have the friend, I find out that they're, like, a super fun person to hang out with. And
right, so hard but worth it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's a difficult process, but in the end, it comes to a satisfying conclusion.
Like yarn.
What?
Well, I don't know. We were using that metaphor a lot.
Yeah, but this time it didn't make sense.
Like yarn. So, making new friends is a cool thing, but also kind of a scary thing.
Yeah.
I want us to go back in time a little bit.
Whoosh.
Whoosh. Let's whoosh back in time to the start of the second grade. Now, you had a bit of an unusual circumstance in that we had some problems at your original school, the school that you did kindergarten and part of grade one at.
Yeah.
There was some bullying issues that weren't being sufficiently dealt with by the school. And so we pulled you out of that school mid-year, and you spent the end of grade one in the school you're at now.
Yeah.
But it was sort of just like the short part of the year. I think it was like right before spring break that you switched over. So you only had like April, May, kind of part of June to get to know your new classmates.
Yeah.
And then you went back to grade two almost as like a new kid in the school, hey?
Yeah.
And how did you feel about that? Do you remember?
Yeah. Well, it was always an uncomfortable feeling. Even the day, I'm pretty sure it was the day before I started going to the school.
Yeah.
That I went and saw all the kids at school. And
they Yeah. We did like a tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my classmates were nice.
Yep.
So that wasn't a super big problem.
Yeah.
But on like my first full year at that school.
Yep.
I like got lost. I had to ask where the bathroom was almost every day.
No.
And like,
she doesn't have a great sense of direction. She gets it from me.
I'm better now. I can find the bathroom.
You can find the bathroom. That's good.
And also, like, I'm pretty sure once I walked into the wrong classroom.
It was kind of a weird year, too, because you only had, like, a couple months to get situated on grade one. And then there was a teacher strike, remember? So you guys got out early in June, and you didn't go back until October. So it was like
a
little bit of grade one, big break, and then you went back for grade two.
Yeah.
And then the week you went back to school was the week that I had Cedar. So brand new baby was born. So lots of changes.
And there was a substitute teacher that day.
So like, I think that it's really good to remember, if you're a parent of a sensitive kid, that any change, even good change, can be something that makes sensitive people feel kind of upset or insecure, or like the ground's kind of pulled out from under us, right?
Yeah.
Does that?
Definitely.
That's pretty accurate. So like the back to school change, even if other kids are like you and they're like psyched for certain projects or clubs or whatever, that you might be experiencing anxiety even while you're feeling excitement.
Yeah.
Just because definitely. Of the change, because it's something new, right?
Yeah. I mean, I, like, this summer seemed to go by so fast for me. Usually summer is like a whole nother winter.
And try if being you live... 36.
Exactly. If you also live in Canada, it literally, we have pretty much three seasons here. Winter, winter, and more winter.
Yes, there is a lot of winter, but summer went fast.
Yeah.
Summer was not winter. Summer was fast. Yeah, and so, like,
summer was spring this year.
There's a level of uncertainty that comes with time moving that quickly, too, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, are you worried that you won't accomplish all of your life goals because time will move too quickly?
No.
Okay, well, that's something to look forward to.
That's actually nothing I have ever thought in my life.
Well, I'm glad to put that on your list. I want to just really quickly talk from my perspective and from yours. What I know we did a whole episode on anxiety, but I want to, you know, because like up until really recently, you were probably feeling some of what we've now identified as anxious feelings.
Definitely.
But didn't necessarily have words to describe it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's pretty much the exact description of what I was feeling.
Yeah, so, like, things that I noticed when I, like, I feel like I've been anxious for my whole life. Sorry.
Me too.
But I didn't always know what that was, right? So I can remember, like, having headaches at the end of summer break. And I can remember feeling, like, really tight in my chest and my throat. And not, and, like, not knowing what that meant or having any, title to assign to it, but I remember almost always feeling like that. Like my earliest memories are of feeling that way. Yeah. So, I guess I sort of had hoped that there was something that I could do to help you avoid feeling that way. And what I realized was that rather than trying to talk you out of feeling that way, we could come up with some tools together. So, I feel kind of ashamed to say that I noticed later than I would have liked to that you were experiencing the same kinds of things.
Aw.
Yeah.
Nah.
Aw. But what I noticed, a few things that I noticed, was that you were having a lot of nightmares.
Yeah.
You were getting sick more often.
Yeah.
And you were having trouble, like, swallowing your food, oddly. Like, you used to like, gag all the time. And that, I mean, obviously, if your kid's gagging all the time, probably see a doctor. But
I don't think we did, though.
No, we didn't. No, but one of the things that I, one of the reasons that I recognized it was because at the time, my grandma was living in a home for seniors.
Right.
And that was something that they talked about with seniors with anxiety, was gagging. That was the thing.
I was like, 4 months?
Yeah, no, you were older than that when I finally recognized what it was. So tell us, just because I want parents to be able to recognize the signs. So if you have a really sensitive kid, that kid probably cries a lot, but also laughs a lot, has a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
That kid probably, let me think, Sierra used to cry. She used to rescue worms off the sidewalk, even though I've never met a human who is more afraid of bugs. She's like terrified of bugs, but she used to rescue worms off the sidewalk after it rained because she felt sorry for them.
I actually remember once doing that.
Yeah, and you were just like so skeeved out, probably gagging while you were doing it. So like, how does it feel for you? Because I would love for us to give people something that's tangible, that's recognizable in themselves and their kids. So how does anxiety feel for you?
Well, like, starting to have, like, random thoughts that are, like, negative. So, sometimes after the accident with Cedar, When I used to sleep in my old room in the old house, there's, like, this dark, creepy hallway that I had to walk across to get to you guys. And,
You know that I'm telling them.
Yeah, yeah. It's still interesting.
Sounded weird, though, to me.
Nope.
And then, like, whenever I laid down in bed, I'd, like, wake up in the middle of the night and start thinking, I should go check on them. They're probably being kidnapped by murderers
or something. I don't know if a murderer would kidnap us, but, you know, you never...
They'd probably murder you first.
Probably.
Because they're murderers.
But...
I would murder them.
I get that. Those, like, so, like, feelings that are so, you know, logically, like, that's not happening right now.
That's so stupid.
But your anxiety kind of overrides your logic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so where do you feel it in your body? We've talked about this before. Let's do a refresher.
Usually, like, in my throat.
Yep.
It, like, starts, like, kind of clenching.
Yep.
As if I'm about to cry, but even if I unclench it, I don't cry.
Yep.
And sometimes in like my chest area, it kind of starts like feeling, how do I describe it? Kind of like eating a jalapeno, but it doesn't.
Okay, so anxiety is like choking on a jalapeno.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I'm down. I'm down for that description. Okay.
Definitely.
Definitely like choking on a jalapeno. Okay, so something that I want to talk about before we move on is in your show notes for today, you talked about, so we were talking about looking forward to the beginning of the school year, and two of your notes, you said you look forward to being older than more people, which we talked about.
Yes.
And you also said every school year is closer to being an adult.
And which I wanted, is true.
It is true, indeed. I wanted to talk a little bit about that, though, because I thought this was a good opportunity for an on-air teachable moment.
Okay.
From your mom. Was that that's the on-air teachable moment song?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I like it.
And, like, that big face zooms in and out.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da.
On my face?
Yes.
Cool. Okay, cool. So my face just zoomed in and out. Picture this. So what do you think that means? What do you think being an adult means? So when we take it back to some of the negatives that you're experiencing about going back to school.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to be different when you're an adult?
Well, instead of experiencing anxiety for school,
you'll get to experience it for work.
And job interviews. Fun. Okay. Look forward to that.
Cool. I just wanted to be really super clear with you because I really thought that at some point there was going to be like this door that I would walk through and I would be an adult. I don't know when I thought it was going to happen. It still hasn't happened yet, even though I have paid for your braces and I own Tupperware to transport cupcakes in, which are like super adulty things. I really don't feel super adulty. So I just wanted to be really clear with you that there's no end to the human condition except for death. So I mean, like,
that got a bit dark. the human condition, except for death.
Okay, so here's just what I want you to know.
Yes.
That,
she grabbed my knee.
I did. I grabbed her knee affectionately, but also firmly.
She was just like,
That you're probably never going to not be a sensitive person. And if you are, you're probably going to have to go to a lot of therapy to unlearn it and relearn how to be sensitive. I'm just saying because I know. But also that, there's stuff about being a kid. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about friend problems. We talked a little bit about being the new kid and how that made you feel even more heightened anxiety. Do you think that's because there was so much more of an unknown?
I don't know. There was one reason. It was because that I always thought that when I got older, I would get bullied. I don't know why I assumed that.
Well, I watched way too many teen movies.
Yeah, you did watch too many teen movies. My fault. But also because when you were younger, when you were in the first grade, you did get bullied.
Yes.
Right? So you just like got that out of the way really, really early. You were an advanced child in that regard. So good to check off that box. Okay, so yeah, I just wanted to make sure that you knew that the human condition continues and that our goal is to maintain our softness until death, to maintain our crybaby status. But like, I mean, obviously when you move out of elementary school and into middle school, at least where we live, it's a bigger school with more people. So if you are having problems with one friend, you'll have other people to, you know, hang out with and
make an alliance with.
Yeah, new alliances will form. And also when you go to middle school and then high school and then university or however you choose to do your future path, you get more choices, right? Like now there's maybe two teachers to choose from. As you get older, you'll be able to choose your classes and you know, with that comes the ability to move towards certain things that you're psyched on and away from certain things that drag you down.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Specifically art.
Yeah, you're moving towards art. We know that. But also, there's even more unknown that comes with that.
Yeah.
Right? So you're even less in a routine. And so there, you know, I want to be really real with you, which is probably how we found ourselves here to begin with. But I want to be really real with you in that it's not like you reach the age of 18 and you're like, ah, smooth sailing. It's not. Right. So, now that we've got that out of the way.
Yes.
The human condition, ongoing until death.
Until death.
And we've talked about some of the things that might make sensitive kids or other people. Everyone's allowed to feel a little anxious about starting something new and transitioning. That might heighten that. So let's just quickly recap. What are some of the things that might make kids feel anxious about starting back to school?
There might not be a lot of your friends in your class.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah, a lot of people worry about that.
Do you worry about that?
No, because I have a lot of friends.
Well, and I think that you're also...
I'm
resilient.
I can make friends.
You're like good at being in new places and meeting new people. That's a skill of yours. Okay, so not having any friends, that's a big one. What else?
Yeah. Getting something wrong on the first day was a big one for me.
Like something academically wrong?
Yes.
Like someone's like, what's the square root of pi? And you're like,
5.
Right. It's not.
The square root of pi is fruit. Because that's what you use to make pie.
Oh, dear. Terrible, terrible dad joke. Hey. Okay, so what else? Like academic stuff would be, it's not really a thing that you worry about. Although now I know that you worried about getting something wrong on the first day, but like worrying about
not anymore.
You know, like doing a bunch of homework or you know, not knowing the answer, stuff like that. What else? What are some other things that might worry people?
Maybe somebody making fun of you because of what you wear or how you look.
Yep.
That was a big one for me also. I always thought that somebody would make fun of me. Because I had low self-esteem.
Well, I felt like you were always pretty high of self-esteem, but I'm sorry that you were worrying about that and I didn't know.
I was very young when I did.
Very young. Now you're so old.
Very young.
Yeah, and like what about, so worrying about being made fun of. What about worrying about not being home? Does that worry you?
Sometimes. I once had a day last year where I didn't enjoy it. And, like...
Yeah, I remember that.
Happens to everybody.
Yeah, you had a bad day. I remember that.
And I wanted to go home so badly, I ran away.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was not your smartest move. You've done smarter things.
Don't worry, I'm not that big of an idiot in real life.
Well, you kind of were that day, but you were homesick, and that was how you handled it.
We were on a field trip.
So yeah, don't do that. Also, no one believed that you could have made it home from there.
Nobody did.
Yeah, okay, so being homesick, that's a bit of a worry. What about, do you ever worry that you'll have a mean teacher? I guess you kind of, most of your teachers are known quantities at this school.
Yeah, I'm not going to name anybody.
Nope.
But there was once this teacher, and...
Oh, they were a yeller.
Yeah.
Yeah, a shouter.
They, shouted a lot.
Yeah, so...
And I had once met them because these boys were yelling really loud in the hall.
And they yelled louder than the boys?
Yes.
Yeah,
They yelled at us.
Yeah, so we want to avoid the yellers if at all possible.
Yeah, and I asked Mom, please don't make me go into their class.
Yeah, we requested that you not be in their class because I feel like a shouter plus a sensitive kid would be daily tears.
Literally cry every day.
Literally cry every day and not just over dog videos on the internet.
I also talk a lot, so I get in trouble often. You can't tell.
You're such a rebel.
Da-na-na-na. Dab.
That's not a rebel.
Yeah, it is. There's a thing called the dab police. Running from the dab police.
Oh, if you could see her, dear listener. I thought you were going to like sing, "He's a rebel and he'll never ever be any good."
I don't know that.
It's probably from the 50s. How old do you think I am?
Funny story. We were driving home from the hairstylist today.
Yeah, we were.
And I was just thinking, and I was like, "Mom, do you remember when..."
Driving before there were traffic lights, she said. Mom.
And then she looked it up while we were making this. Not this segment. While we were making the podcast, she was like, "By the way, they were made in 1912 or something like
that." 1912. So that's when my daughter thinks I was born and began driving an automobile. 1912. Now, what are we going to do to make this transition kinder for you? We've talked about some things about, you know, like getting back into routine.
Yeah. And getting school supplies is fun.
And then, also, making sure that we hear the dog licking his foot on this recording is fun. There we go, Sam. Just lick. Yeah. Sounds great. Thank you. That's really good.
Super loud.
I hope you're wearing headphones so that just went right into your brain. Yeah. School supplies are super fun. And, like, you know, you and your brother both just got haircuts. That was cool.
Yeah.
Are we gonna put some pink in your hair?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to put some pink in your hair. That's fine.
I go after my mother.
Yep.
You should see, like, the pictures we post on our Instagram.
Yeah, you should follow us on Instagram, Messy House Podcast.
Boom.
That was a shameless plug. What else? You've got some stuff on our list here. You mentioned having conversations with teachers. Tell us about that. So this is, like, obviously after you've gone back to school.
Yeah. So, like, once the bell is rung or whatever.
Yep.
So that you're not interrupting the class or something.
Yep.
But I always found that if I'm having a bad day at school or if I feel kind of nervous about something we're about to do,
yep,
that talking to the teacher always helps.
Yeah.
You can kind of come up with questions before you ask.
That's a good idea.
That's what I would do. Because sometimes once I walked up to the teacher and I was like, "Excuse me." And then I just stood there in silence when the teacher stared at me.
Oh, rut-row.
Because I couldn't think of a question. So I was just like, never mind, and
went back to my... That's legitimately my awkward worst nightmare.
I know.
Do you ever... You don't really leave voicemails for people, do you?
Sometimes.
If I'm going to have to leave a voicemail, I've probably rehearsed it in my head in advance.
Yeah. I don't do that. I just like...
Yeah, you just wing it.
You're so bold. All right. So, yeah, talking with your teacher, that's a good way to sort of prep and diminish anxiety. Like you said, when you were the new student, do you feel like going for the tour in advance was helpful?
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, if people can swing that, then that'll help a little bit.
Yeah, if you're a new kid.
You know what you're up for. What about spending time, like, we've been on the go, and your friends have been on the go, but in these last few weeks, you've been spending more and more time with your friends.
Yes.
So, do you think that that's going to be helpful?
Yeah. Spending time with friends usually kind of calms you down.
Yep.
As long as you do something fun.
Yeah, like, it kind of reminds you that they're not all hanging out without you.
Yeah. Once, I was feeling sick, and I wanted to hang out with a friend. It was like stomach pains. It wasn't too pukey or anything, so I thought I'd be fine.
And then they came over.
They came over.
And you puked.
And I puked. Yeah. I couldn't think of anything to do, and then I puked.
Well, I feel like that probably was related in some way.
Yeah, I started telling her that my stomach was hurt and she might have to go home.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I have to puke. And I ran into the bathroom.
Okay, I don't know if we need to tell this whole story. That's cool. All right, so spending time with friends and not vomiting is a good way to sort of ease out of summer.
Yeah.
And then you wrote a couple of notes on making new friends. Or even sort of, I think that these would also be valid for reconnecting with friends that you maybe haven't seen all summer.
Yeah.
So I love what you said here. Read that one. Oh, you probably can't read that.
Sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry. It's my gnarly penmanship. You suggested that asking questions is a good way to connect with people.
So like asking what their favorite color or animal or number or what's your favorite hat color. Anything kind of helps.
Because people like to talk about themselves, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like talking about myself.
Yeah, of course.
I'm literally talking about myself right now.
Yeah, but also you're talking about
friendships.
Encouraging other people to talk about themselves. So it's
making
like
a friend.
Very meta.
Yeah.
I think that one of those questions, like if you could travel back in time and give yourself some advice, you know, those kinds of questions?
Yeah.
Are you too young for those kinds of questions? Maybe. No. If I could travel back in time and give myself some advice at your age, way back in 1922, I would suggest don't worry so much. Just do cool stuff and the cool people show up.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't mean cool like Judd Nelson in Breakfast Club cool.
Wearing pixelated sunglasses cool.
Yeah, like I'm not talking about like the cool in the definition of like popular, because I think that honestly like popularity is kind of overrated, and cool as you get to be an adult, the cool people are the ones who are enthusiastic about stuff, and it doesn't necessarily matter what it is, although I think that being enthusiastic about like racism would make you not cool, but being enthusiastic about, you know, nerdy stuff makes you a cool person when you're an adult. So I would be...
nerds are cool. What a twist.
What a twist. I know. And so that's kind of my advice, is to like do stuff that you're excited about and connect with people who are also interested in doing the cool stuff. And don't worry so much about, you know, like a best friend, because that stuff will happen organically. And then something else that we talked about in terms of like the transition from like summertime to school time is keeping in touch with people.
Yeah. If you don't keep in touch, that friendship might kind of break down.
Or fizzle, and or they will all really just hang out without you.
Yeah. Then they actually don't.
They actually are hanging out with everyone but you.
And then
And just like reaching out. It's so easy to reach out nowadays and just like touch base with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once, two people in my class.
Yep.
One was my friend and one wasn't at the time.
Okay.
They were both having their birthday party on the same day.
Yep.
And one of them, who was the girl, there was a girl and a boy, the girl invited every girl in the class except me.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't have gone anyway.
Well, but you guys weren't friends at that point, but you went to the boys' house, the boys' party.
Yeah, and that was a lot more fun.
It was, well, you don't know that. It was a lot of fun, but yeah. It's not so much important that you have, like, all of the coolest, most popular friends as it is that you have people who you like to have fun with.
Yeah.
So, like I said earlier, I know a little bit about raising a sensitive kid from having been a sensitive kid. And also having a sensitive kid. So I want to really quickly say a couple of things that I recommend for that back to school time, for, you know, the time for the first, I don't know, 6 weeks of back to school, where yes. Everyone's getting back into routine, everyone's getting used to it. So something that I really recommend is building in some slack time.
Yeah.
Building in some of that downtime, building in some deliberate kind of scheduled time to go off into your room and draw or read or whatever it is that you need to do in order to replenish from, you know, going from being home full time to being back around people full time. I think that's super important.
Yeah.
The other thing that I've learned over the years of parenting a sensitive kid that I didn't learn from my own experience, but have just sort of learned through trial and error, is to let kids feel their feelings.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, when you're in it, no one can talk you out of it anyway, even with the best solutions.
No.
So I think that the best thing that I've learned is not to gaslight kids out of their feelings. And I think that most of the time when we're trying to convince kids not to be sad or that their feelings are too big, what we're really saying is that they're too big for us as the adults.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, when you feel sad, it absolutely breaks my heart. I hate it.
So that's why you want me to not be sad.
Yeah, well, of course I want you. I want you to never be sad. But that's not my job. My job is not to save you from life. My job is to help you navigate through it. And so I think that the most productive thing when small people have big feelings is to hold space for them to have those feelings. Do you feel like that's productive?
Yeah. And, like, I know this is kind of off topic, but it's kind of not. In Inside Out, they kind of talk about that.
Yeah, they kind of do. Inside Out's a really good movie about mental health for kids.
Yeah. You don't have to be happy all the time, even though being happy is good.
Yep.
But being sad is a great way to, like,
it's normal. It's like
getting rid of your feelings.
Well, and it's just like you can't really move through something if you try and move around it.
Yeah.
Cool. Good metaphor. And the other thing that
we did a metaphor.
The other thing that's really important for me, as a mom, as a human, is that you, oh, can you hear your brother laughing? That's awesome. Is for you to create great boundaries starting now. And for me, that means that you don't have to chase anybody. You don't have to be friends with anybody who's not nice to you. Of course, we have compassion because we understand that they have a story, but you're not obligated to be friends with everybody. You're not obligated to keep trying to get people to where you are.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, there will be enough people. And I think that something like we try and sort of control our kids' social outcomes because their sad feelings are so hurtful for us. And we try and, like, I think that if we're not careful, we start teaching kids to override their own red flags at a really young age. So it's really important for me that you know that your okayness is not contingent upon anybody else's perception of you.
Yeah.
And that no one's opinion of you is more important than your own.
Yeah. I have always had this scenario in my head where a bully tries to hurt my feelings, and instead of crying, I start standing up for myself. And then one day, a kid actually did say something mean and stuff, and they tried to parent me, and I stood up for myself.
You know what? I stand up for myself. Sometimes I still cry while I'm doing it. Standing up for yourself and crying at the same time is no less valid than But, I mean, the thing about boundaries... Oh, there's the dog scratching his collar. Okay, go to town, Murph. Live your life. Oh, then, now he's doing something that's not appropriate.
Now he's licking not, his nether parts.
Not safe for work. That really derailed that conversation.
It really did.
It really did, Murph.
We were in the middle of a...
kind of, like, serious conversation, and then the dog was licking his...
Nether parts. That is my word for that.
It is. Can we say penis on this podcast?
Oh, you just did.
I just did.
It's too late.
Too late now. Right? Like, I think that you can be sad, you can still stand up for yourself, but that it's not your job to convince anybody else that you're a good person. Yeah. Right? You can just remove yourself from that scenario. And...
you can hear
your brother's going crazy. The dogs are going crazy. We're going to wrap this up here in just a second. I just want to say that I think you're a rad kid.
Thank you. And I think you're a rad mom.
Thank you.
And to most of you watching, just because, I mean, listening.
Oh, no. Now you did it. We've got right. readers. We've got watchers. We've got listeners.
Since you guys are listening to us, you're awesome, too.
I think, yeah, that, like, it's really important just to know that no one knows what they're doing. Exactly. We're all just doing the best that we can. Even if you were born in 1912, you just don't necessarily know what's going on.
Yeah.
But that's cool. And we're all just trying. We're open to your suggestions, either on our IG or here on Anchor or wherever it is that you listen to us. We want to know how you and your family are navigating the complicated waters of getting older and trying new things and transitioning. What's your back to school policy? What do you guys do to make it easier on yourselves? We highly recommend not shopping at West Edmonton Mall on Labor Day weekend if you yes. are... someone with social anxiety. We've done that before. It was not our best move.
I think I got lost.
We ended up spending a lot of time in our hotel room with the curtains drawn ordering room service because yep. it was very people-y. But nonetheless, be kind to each other.
Yeah.
Be brave.
1 second.
Yep.
If you also have any comments and what you want us to do next or anything you want advice on, then we have Instagram, we have Anchor, we have iTunes, we have...
Spotify.
Lots of things.
Lots of things. So you can come and find us and make suggestions for what we talk about next. We're going to endeavor to be a little bit more regular with our creation schedule going forward.
Yeah, we might have like a day.
So thanks for listening.
Let's not say watching or reading this time.
Not reading, not watching. Thanks for listening. We're grateful. We've had such a great reception for our first two episodes. We've had so many people who've enjoyed listening to us, so that's cool.
For anybody who's listening, you're awesome. You're part of the cool people.
Yeah, the cool people.
The Messy House Crew.
The Messy House Crew, who are enthusiastic about their lives. All right, Sierra Rose, I love ya.
I love you, too.
All right, thanks, guys. Bye.